Good morning again.
Good morning.
This morning, I'm happy to introduce Nicole Bowman. Nicole was born and raised in Southeast Georgia. She has lived in California for almost 5 years. She lives in Los Banos with her husband, where they share in the ministry and the work at the Los Banos Church of Christ. She and husband Glenn will celebrate 5 years of marriage at the end of October. Congratulations. Around the first week of December, they will welcome their first child, a son. Nicole was baptized at a young age and has strived to live for the Lord ever since, making that commitment through any means of service in the kingdom. The desire to be a Ladies' Day speaker was placed in her heart as a young lady, and she is very thankful and honored to be here today to share an encouraging message from God's Word. Please welcome Nicole Bowman.
How many of you had a plan for your life? Did you have plans for things like where you'd go to college? What type of job you'd have? Who you would marry? Where you would live? How many of you followed that exact plan or path that you thought you were going to take? If you did change, what caused you to change the course of direction you were going? Was it a good change? Did you pray about those changes before you made them? Did your plans line up with what God wants for your life? Today, I want you to think about the path that you were on and how you got there. When we make decisions in life, we usually seek out counsel of some sort. Whether it's parents, friends, or coworkers, we look to someone else who might have experience or more insight for various circumstances that come up in life. Our ultimate counselor should be God, as we all know. Psalm chapter 32, verse 8 says that God will instruct us and teach us in the way we should go. He will counsel us and watch over us. The Bible clearly says that God is our guide. David even seeks out God for guidance, as we see in Psalm, the 25th chapter, verses 4 through 5, where he asks, "Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth, and teach me, for you are my God and my Savior." He also acknowledges in Psalm 119, verse 105, that God's word is a lamp for our feet and a light for our path. During this lesson, we're going to reflect on our forefathers and take a look at the ancient paths they walked. How would that look for us today, and how can we apply it to our lives? We have numerous examples of what has worked and what hasn't worked for those who came before us. When we seek counsel from God through His Word and through prayer, we should think about these instances as evidence of what God wants from us. Our focus scripture for today is from Jeremiah 6, verse 16. It reads, "This is what the Lord says, stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. But you said, we will not walk in it." A path is defined as the course or direction in which a person is moving. What path are you on? Sisters, I'd like to give us 3 ways to try to sustain and make sure we're going the right path in life. We need to pray diligently and believing to God. We need to make sure we're paying attention to what He's telling us. And we also need to make sure we're being honest and changing our hearts if we do not have the right mindset about what God wants for us, and to do things His way and not our own. When you need help, what do? You ask for it, right? You look to someone that can help you in your time of need. As Christians, we should look to God when we are in need of a guide to determine which way we should go. The 23rd Psalm says that the Lord is our shepherd. A person who shepherds is a person who guides or direct someone or something in a particular direction. The Lord is our guide. Proverbs 16:9 says that we make our plans, but the Lord directs our steps. If we ask him to, he will lead us. In the third verse of the 23rd Psalm, it says that he guides me along the right paths. When we ask for guidance, we must have no doubt that the way he shows us is correct, even if it might be difficult in our eyes. Our way of communication when we go to God is through prayer. Matthew 21, verse 22 says, "And whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive, if you have faith." That is one of the conditions about prayer. We have to believe that he will answer it. And it also states that in Mark 11, verse 24. If we don't believe, we can't think that God is going to answer, as it indicates in James 1, 5 through 6. It describes us like a wave being tossed if we doubt and waver. God wants us to be steadfast and sure. Think of God like our compass or GPS. We put our trust in a GPS system to guide us where we need to go to get to a destination. Sometimes we even follow it when we have a pretty good idea that it's not taking us the right way. Maybe it takes you the wrong way because it needs updates or road systems have changed. If we can trust a compass or a GPS system, thinking that it will most likely take us where we need to go, how much more should we put our trust in God as our guide and GPS system in life? He is always right, and he doesn't need any updates because his way is the only way and never changes. When we pray to him, we're asking for direction. We want to get to heaven, so we're seeking the route to get there through his word. So, I pray, I believe that he will answer, and he comes through. He gives me the path that I need to go on. This all sounds good, right? God will lead us. He will direct us. But we have to listen to what he says. We have to pay attention. If we don't pay attention to the road signs he might give, we could end up finding ourselves lost. If you remember our focus verse from Jeremiah 6:16, the Lord told us what to do. He gave directions on where to go and how to get there. But if you notice at the end of the verse, we replied with, "We will not walk in it." How can we expect God to lead us if we decide that we don't want to follow him or that we don't want to listen? Exodus 15, verse 26 says, "If you will listen carefully to the voice of the Lord, your God, and do what is right in his sight, obeying his commands and keeping all his decrees, then he will not make you suffer." This is where the people of God were complaining and did not want to listen to the things Moses was telling them that God wanted them to do. Have you ever had someone come to you for advice and then totally dismiss everything you say? It's not a good feeling, right? That's what we do to God each time we pray and ask him for help, and we don't listen. He gives it to us, but many times we don't pay attention or accept his answer that he gives. I've heard a story about how a storm came and it flooded a town and people were evacuating, but there was one person in particular who said that they were going to pray to God to come and rescue them. The person was up on the roof and prayed for help. So God sent someone in a little boat to their home. And that person said, "No thanks, I'm waiting on God." God sent another person in a helicopter. That person said, "No thanks, I'm waiting on God." I think we can see where this is going. Eventually, the storm got so bad that the person ended up drowning. We don't want to be like that. We don't want to miss the boat, so to speak, when God is giving us help and direction for where we need to go. We have to make sure we are paying attention to all the signs he's telling us. We also need to make sure we pay attention to people who might be there along the way to help guide us that God places in our paths. We have another reminder in Exodus chapter 23, verses 20 through 22. It reads, "See, I am sending an angel before you to protect you on your journey and lead you safely to the place I have prepared for you. Pay close attention to him and obey his instructions. Do not rebel against him, for he is my representative and he will not forgive your rebellion. But if you are careful to obey him, following all my instructions, then I will be an enemy to your enemies, and I will oppose those who oppose you." Let's think about this. God sent an angel to guide his people in their journey. He does that today, doesn't he? He sends people into our lives. This could be by way of brothers and sisters in the church to help guide us in our journey of life. It could be an older sister helping to guide and mentor a younger sister. But sometimes we don't want to listen when that person comes to us. Many times, due to our pride, we don't want someone correcting us and showing us our faults. And how ironic that is when we are the ones who prayed to God and he answered by sending that brother or sister who we don't want to listen to. Admittedly, there are some tough conversations we can have, such as when we are in sin and our brother and sister comes to us in love, asking us to repent and change our ways, especially because our soul could be in jeopardy of being lost. Nevertheless, God can use anyone or anything he wants to be our guide in our time of need. We just have to do our part and make sure we're obedient to what he says. However, if we do not listen and obey, we can see what happened to our forefathers when they chose that option. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 42, the Lord asked the Israelites not to go and fight because he would not be with them. We can see what happened when they did not listen in verse 43. "So I, the Lord, told you, but you would not listen. You rebelled against the Lord's command." Verse 45 says, "You came back and wept before the Lord, but he paid no attention to your weeping and turned a deaf ear to you." What a sad situation to be in. God gave them simple instruction, but they chose not to obey. And they had to suffer the consequences of that choice, as we do when we make wrong decisions. But we don't have to be stuck in that state, do we? God is patient with us, even in these times of stubbornness. He will forgive us if we change our hearts and ask for forgiveness. In 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 47 through 51, we can see just how forgiving God is. In the NLT version, it reads, "But in that land of exile, they might turn to you in repentance and pray. We have sinned, done evil, and acted wickedly. If they turn to you with their whole heart and soul in the land of their enemies and pray toward the land you gave to their ancestors, toward this city you have chosen, and toward this temple I have built to honor your name, then hear their prayers and their petition from heaven where you live, and uphold their cause. Forgive your people who have sinned against you. Forgive all the offenses they have committed against you. Make their captors merciful to them, for they are your people, your special possession, whom you brought out of the iron smelting furnace of Egypt." Sounds familiar, right? I sin. I veer off the path that God has established for me. Things get messed up in my life. I'm miserable. I want change. I miss having God deliver me. That leads me to being sorry for what I've done. Therefore, I pray earnestly to God, believing that He will come through. He hears me. He delivers me and forgives me. I'm back on track. Simple, simple, simple. The Bible even says in Psalm 119, verse 130, that the unfolding of God's word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. So if even someone who is very simple-minded can get this, then why is it so hard for us to stay on the path? Satan is very busy coming at us, sisters. He's like a roaring lion seeking brothers and sisters to devour, as we read in 1 Peter 5, verse 8. It's very easy to veer off the course with all the distractions of life. When we're single, the Bible says it's the best time for us to have our focus solely on God, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 34. But once we get married, those of us who are called to that, some of us will have kids, and obviously you also have your husbands to deal with too. Then there's your job, and then your kids, as they get older, have their PTA meetings, sporting events. You get the picture. Life gets busy, and pretty soon we're too busy for gatherings with the saints because we have other things to do. However, this is no excuse. Whether we realize it initially or not, we end up missing that fellowship and edification that gathering together provides to help us stay focused and on the right path. These things will help us to make sure we're keeping ourselves ready for battle with the whole armor of God, as it states in Ephesians 6:11. Some of the obstacles and schemes that Satan throws our way in life will make us contemplate taking that road that looks easier and veering off the right course. And sometimes we won't obey God because we think we know better, or His answer to our prayer or directions on how to get to where we want to be don't line up with the agenda that we have in our minds. This is where we need to have what I like to call an honest self-check assessment and make sure that the things we want in this life line up to what God wants for us. We have to make sure that whatever we do in this life, we do to the glory of God, as it tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. Let's not forget Matthew 7, verses 13 through 14. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. God never promised that life would be easy, and only a few people are going to find the way to the path of life. However, it can be done. We see in John 16, verse 33, Jesus speaking here, "I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." So, sisters, I ask you, how do we make sure that we're on the right path and stay the course? Let's remember that if we pray earnestly, truly believing that He will answer, pay attention, and obey what He tells us, and have those sincere self-checks and change our ways when we find ourselves in sin and off the course, He will lead us back to where we need to be. I'd like to end by reading one last scripture text. Nehemiah chapter 9, verses 29 through 31 says, and I'm going to change the pronouns here so it'll hit us a little more as we read through this. Nehemiah chapter 9, verses 29 through 31 reads, "You warned us to return to your law, but we became arrogant and disobeyed your commands. We sinned against your ordinances, by which we will live if We obey them. Stubbornly, we turned our backs on you, became stiff-necked, and refused to listen. For many years, you were patient with us. By your Spirit, you admonished us through your prophets. Yet, we paid no attention. So, you handed us over to our neighboring peoples. But, in your great mercy, you did not put an end to us or abandon us, for you are a gracious and merciful God. Verse 28 through 30. But as soon as we were at peace, we again committed evil in your sight. And once more, you let our enemies conquer us. Yet, whenever we turn and cry to you again for help, you hear from heaven, and in your compassion, you deliver us time after time. Wow, isn't that powerful? In his compassion, he delivers us time after time. I hope I said something to encourage you and also challenge you to take a look at your life and make sure that you're on the right path.